Support for KSJD's streaming comes from Osprey PAX, independent since 1974, setting the standard for creating and producing innovative, high-quality, caring equipment designed to inspire and ease your journey. Osprey PAX is committed to the local communities where it operates and to protecting the wild places its customers love to explore. For more information, visit OspreyPAX.com.
Welcome to Pandora's Box, the other side of the story on the environment and your health. I'm Joni Trussell, co-host, and today I'm here with Gretchen Gronke to talk more about food insecurity on a more local level. After Lynn Patrick talked on the last Pandora's Box about food insecurity, we are going to take a look at it from the other side, being the local side. Gretchen is a community member who's passionate about food justice and bridging the gaps between local food and local people. She's currently working with Mancos Food Share to comprehensively address hunger and food insecurity in the Mancos Valley. Welcome, Gretchen.
Thanks for having me, Joni.
Great to have you here. First, can you say a little bit more about the idea of food justice?
Food justice is an idea that all people should have a right and access to good food, healthy food, and the education and production along with it.
Okay, and so when you say healthy food, how does that not happen when there are these ways that, like schools have programs, free lunch programs, and there are food banks and places that provide food for people who don't have enough food? What's the difference between that and what you're talking about?
The big difference is that a lot of those places don't always have a supply of good, healthy food. In Lynn Patrick's interview a couple weeks ago, she talked about the connection between obesity and hunger and chronic disease and hunger. And it's really a huge systemic issue. It's an overarching issue. It's part of the global food system, that what we have availability to, even in the grocery store, isn't always good for us. You can walk through the cereal aisle and find a lot of choices of cereal, and very few of them are going to have much in them that's really good for your body. So when you get to the more marginalized aspects of the food system, like a food bank or a school or a prison for that matter, those places, even with good intention and hope and determination, are often have very small access to truly healthy food. Whether that's an economic situation, I would say mostly probably an economic situation, like a school just doesn't have a budget to always get enough healthy food in, and so they have to supplement the healthy food with cheap food.
Right, and I noticed in one of the videos that I was looking at, they were talking about how the price of food per child is $4 a day or something like that. In the school system.
It's very low. It's very low. And the ladies who often work in the kitchens in the school districts around here are doing an amazing job of trying their very best to make healthy meals for the kids with what they have access to. And there's a huge push to get local food into the schools, which is awesome. And the kids are having access to more fresh food on their plates, partly because of the effort to get locally sourced food into the districts, and then the school gardening efforts, like Montezuma School to Farm is a part of, to actually grow food on campus and teach the kids about food and food production, and then also get that food on their plates. So there's an increase in the amount of fresh food that's on kids' plates, but there's still a lot of room to go.
Right. And so have you been able to see anything about what's happening because of those programs that's different here in Montezuma County?
Well, one thing that is really awesome is with Montezuma School to Farm Project, they run gardens in Cortez, Dolores, and Mancos school districts. And there was a side-by-side study done between kids in the Mancos school district and kids in the Bayfield school district. Bayfield sources local food, but they don't have a school gardening program. At least when this study was done a couple years back, that was the case. I'm not sure where they're at now. Mancos School District is sourcing local food as well as hosting the school gardening program through Montezuma School to Farm. And it was clearly demonstrated through that study that the kids that were part of a gardening program were eating more fruits and vegetables and more willing to try fruits and vegetables than the kids who just had more fruits and vegetables on their plate. So the education component is a really important component to get the kids to actually eat what they maybe have access to.
Right, and learning to love broccoli.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking that potato chips are much more fun, or French fries, which is part of the school lunch programs a lot.
Yes.
So one of the things I wonder about, you being a mom, how it is for you knowing all this and seeing what's happening, and how do you work with that with your son?
That is a great question. With my son personally, I have tried to redefine what is a treat and what is a special food with him. So our criteria for special food is, do we know where it came from? Do we know what it's made of? And did we or somebody that we know or some person that we could describe work hard for that food? So that's how I'm trying to help him understand food. We do a lot of other things besides that, but that makes, when we look at it that way, we can take like a squash and we say, where did this, do we know what this is made of? Well, yeah, it's a squash. And we do we know where it came from? Well, yeah, it came from so-and-so's farm down the road, or we grew it in our garden, or we got it at the farmer's market. And did somebody work hard? And if it's one of the people that we knew, or if we grew it in our garden, then we can say, yeah, you know, we took care of the squash for however many months, and now we're going to make hard to turn it into a pie or cookies or whatever, squash soup, whatever we might be coming up with. So that's one of my big strategies. We'll see how that goes. And I'm also pretty passionate about making sure that he's exposed to food production. So what does it look like to grow a plant? What do seeds look like? What happens when we put them in the ground? And then what happens when these turn into food? And how do we make that into something we can eat?
Great. Okay, we're going to take a break. This is Pandora's Box. I'm here with Gretchen Gronke, and we're talking about food insecurity, and we'll be right back. We're back. This is Joni Trussell on Pandora's Box, and today I'm here with Gretchen Gronke, and we're talking about food insecurity. And Gretchen, so to talk a little bit more about that idea of what you are doing as a parent, it seems like it's difficult for parents to deal with the fact that there is the issue, even if you do get food and you are poor, that the struggle is how to see it being a good parent, you know, how to be a good parent and not feel like it's your fault, because there are so many factors that influence what kind of food that is available to somebody who has food insecurity, or the media and how much their kids are exposed to, and how that also is problematic. You know, like what's appealing is those cereals that have tons of sugar in them.
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's tough. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work just to be a parent, let alone to have your child's nutrition choices on your mind. And especially if you're working on a tight budget, it's difficult. I think my biggest passions with kids is education and exposure, is making sure kids have a chance just to see food growing, to take part in growing food. And that might look like a couple tomato plants on the apartment porch, or that might look like, taking your kid out to a local farm and letting them see things growing and taste things fresh off the plants. So I'm a big advocate for gardening, even just small gardens, because it helps kids be creative in the process of food and understand the connections of food. And as far as getting food on the table, good food for our kids on the table, it can be challenging. And the influence of the media is not to be underestimated. There's a lot of marketing that goes towards our children to get them to eat certain types of foods that are definitely not good for their bodies. I think helping kids cook in a kitchen is a really big deal. And again, that's part of that creative process where they're probably going to be more likely to eat something that they helped make. And so that can look like getting, you know, some child safe knife, getting the right types of foods that are a little bit easier to chop up, and being with your kiddo in the kitchen, which takes time. And that's also a hot commodity when you're a parent. I think food has to be a priority, and good food has to be a priority. And as much as possible, if we can bring our kids into the folds of where does food come from, and then how do we make our food, and letting them take creative ownership of that process as much as possible, is super helpful in them having a connection to food. I think also the school gardening programs, like I mentioned, are huge, because we don't always have time as parents to have a garden or to cook with our kids. So those, where the school component comes in is a huge factor in kids having access to that education. So supporting those programs, whether just being a parent and letting your administrators know that that program is important to you, or if you have time to come out and volunteer, probably more than anything, just letting the administrators know how important those are is a good step.
I know that there are like the School to Farm program has talked about kids going home and talking to their parents about their experience of growing vegetables or eating vegetables and how important that has been for them, and that getting feedback from parents about that is really helpful as well.
Yeah, kids can definitely be the change makers in a family dynamic too. If they go to school and grow lettuce and make something, you know, make kale salad, and come home and are advocating for kale salad, or you're in the grocery store with your child and they're like really wanting whatever food it is that they were exposed to at school, sometimes they're the ones to teach their parents as well, which is really neat.
Can you talk a little bit about what programs are available in this area and what Food Share is that you're working on?
Yeah, so in the realm of food and food insecurity in our area, Montezuma School to Farm, that I already mentioned, the school gardening program, is a huge, huge player in shifting the dynamics around food. I would also mention at the top of the list just local producers in general, that the biggest way to shift the food dynamic that we see, which is global systemic issues around food and hunger and malnutrition and obesity, chronic disease, is local production and taking control of our local food systems so that we can create access to good foods. So the top of the list for local efforts, in my eyes anyway, is local producers. And a big part of local production is making sure that new farmers are able to access land, so that young farmers are able to get on the land, because the average age of American farmer is something like 60. So we need to get more young growers on the land so that we can increase that food supply, so we have an abundant supply of food. There's also the schools sourcing local food through farm-to-school efforts that I mentioned, and that's happening nationally as a huge national effort, and we have several schools in the area that are doing a really good job at that. There's also a couple cooking programs that are based around nutrition education. There's one through the Pinion Project, and there's one through Cooking Matters, and those are available to families and community members on a pretty regular basis. And then there's the places where you can go for food assistance. In Cortez, there's the food bank called the Good Samaritan Center that's next to the post office. And then the two soup kitchens, Hope's Kitchen and Grace's Kitchen. Hope's is up by the library, kind of kitty corner from the library in Cortez. And Grace's is over by the health department on North Street. And then there's the bridge, the homeless shelter, and they have a kitchen there, and they're able to provide food to folks. There's also the commodities distribution and the senior centers, which are all available countywide. And the commodities distribution is an income-based program that provides food to folks on a regular basis. In Dolores, there's a few different efforts going on, a family food box program and a summer meals program. And those are mainly helped support by a woman named Kelly Proctor, who's from the Pinion Project. And in Mancos, there is a food pantry at the school. And Mancos Food Share is a project that I'm involved with, and we are working to start a community-based food pantry that is holistic in its vision of hunger and food insecurity. So trying to weave together those different aspects of food access and emergency food assistance, food education, food distribution, food production, into a comprehensive model that addresses food insecurity in a rural area. We're not totally sure what that looks like yet, but that's great. What we're going for.
Well, that sounds great. Thank you for sharing all those pieces, and we will make sure to have that on our website at KSJD so that people can access that if they need to know all the ones that you just listed and maybe a little bit more information about each one of them. And thanks so much for joining us today. This has been Pandora's Box, and I've been here with Gretchen Gronke, and we've been talking about food insecurity in Montezuma County.
Thank you, Joni.
Thanks.